On today's show, President Trump and Gavin Newsom deliver polar opposite messages to the World Economic Forum.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the show today. We do have a packed show. Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us a little bit later. And Will is here. Will Haynes. Happy birthday, Will.
Oh, thank you.
Big birthday. I'm not going to tell people how old you are. That's a thing.
No, doesn't bother me.
He's an old man now. But phone lines, again, are open. Look, it's a big day, as we saw both President Trump, Gavin Newsom, among so many others, speaking at the World Economic Forum at Davos. Will, if there's anyone I know who could explain the World Economic Forum to this audience and what Davos is and why they're there and what it all means, it's your birthday. You take the lead on this. Not because I don't know, not because I'm not as informed as you, because it's your birthday and you should be able to do it.
I appreciate that,
You're
Logan.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Davos.
You have 3.5 minutes.
There you go. Davos is the name that they colloquially call the World Economic Forum's annual conference that happens in Davos, Switzerland.
It's abbreviated.
So they refer to it as Davos.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an invite only. Conference with political leaders, world leaders, CEOs, NGOs, academics, and they all get together and they pontificate about things and they speak about things and they offer ideas about the future of the world. And it's kind of the worst of the worst globalism on display. Now, there's no like binding resolutions that come out of this.
Or revolutions, hopefully.
Hopefully not. But it also gets a lot of criticism. It was founded, the World Economic Forum, by Klaus Schwab. He is the author of kind of the Great Reset idea, which came out of COVID, which like, hey, let's capitalize, no pun intended, on this great crisis and remake the way the world economy should look, with a lot of the ESG, environment and governance and stakeholder issues that are widely criticized by capitalists and by conservatives, and also just this entire globalist elite mindset where they get together in a non-democratic forum, but they sit here and they come up with all these ideas. What is different about this year in what we're seeing is the way the Trump administration is positioning themselves and kind of preaching this America First ideology that is what got the Trump administration into office on this stage with people that disagree with it completely.
And the concept of theirs is saying, hey, we're not saying just America First. We're saying you all should be representing your country's best interests first.
Right, and we will
other countries first, Germany first, whatever.
And Howard Lutnick actually did a fantastic job laying that out, and we'll play that. But as we see, there's, you know, Emmanuel Macron was there. He had to wear aviator sunglasses. He has an eye condition, but he looks kind of silly.
That's pretty cool.
On stage.
Silly?
I don't know, Logan. It was indoors with aviators. I know that people want you to wear the indoor sunglasses.
I don't think you know our audience very well. But, they love that.
But I don't think any of them are going to say he looked cool, actually. I do know that audience. But you have him giving his speeches. You have the pushback from a lot of people about the Greenland moves by President Trump. President Trump spoke today, as well as a lot of the cabinet members that are there. We will get into it. But one guest that is there, not as a speaker, but is making some waves, is Gavin Newsom. And he's palling around with Alex Soros and making some very bold claims we're going to play, where he is criticizing world leaders for not standing up to America. Yes, you heard that right. The governor of California is going and lecturing world leaders for not having a backbone and standing up to the United States of America. We'll break that all down in the segments ahead.
That's right. Look, it's Will's birthday Wednesday, so it's been fun. We want you to support the work of the ACLJ in honor of Will today, if you like what he contributes. Today is the day. If you give in the next hour, we will make that in honor of Will's birthday. Let's try to do $1,000 for every birthday you've had. Y'all can figure out what that is in the next hour. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Seculo, it is Will's big birthday, and in honor of Will's birthday, we're talking about the World Economic Forum.
My favorite.
Tell who picked the topic today. Not me. Maybe this guy over here, executive producer of Seculo. And like I said, if you give today, because look, Gavin Newsom's making waves, Davos, Will Haynes is making waves here. If you enjoy what he's been doing here, his contribution today is Will Haynes Day. You donate to the ACLJ. It's in honor of Will, but someone said in memory, in honor of Will Haynes. And we will say, like I said, we're going to hit a goal. We're going to try to hit the goal, which is $1,000 for every year you've been born. Not you're born, since you've been born. So we're looking for a big 4-0.
Right.
We're looking for a big 40,000. Can we do it? It's a big ask. We'll find out. All right. So, Will, let's restate what we're talking about here. Gavin Newsom and President Trump, among many others, have been appearing at Davos, the World Economic Forum. A lot of people are calling in because, look, I think in general you hear things like World Economic Forum. You initially, and maybe you should, you maybe shudder at the sound of it existing. It's like the United Nations. There is that bit of New World Order, you know, that comes off of that, or The Hague, the International Criminal Court. It all kind of feels like it lives in this same universe of creep.
Well, and when you look at who's hanging out together, and I think we have this image. This is from Alex Soros's Instagram account, where he's hanging out with none other than Gavin Newsom, and he's saying, catching up with the real star of the 2026 World Economic Forum, my friend Gavin Newsom. So glad he's here calling out world leaders for believing appeasement works when it comes to Trump. It doesn't. It only emboldens him to become more chaotic and destructive. World leaders could take a page out of Newsom's book. It's time to stand tall, stand firm, and stand united before it's too late. And that echoes very closely the words of Gavin Newsom himself speaking to reporters. And let's go ahead and run bite 4. This is where he is calling out world leaders about the way that they're working with Trump. And that, actually, let's play bite 5. I like this one too, because he's going on this tirade against world leaders that they need to stand up against America. Let's roll it.
I mean, handing out crowns and handing out, I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look. and the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing, and they've been playing. This guy is playing folks for fools, and it's embarrassing.
And once again,
it's Gavin Newsom now playing another character.
That's right.
Now he's playing the character of the full anti-Trump. How dare he? He's embarrassing. He's pathetic. And look, if he had been consistent with that, fine, whatever. I don't really care. You could say whatever you want. You may think that some of those things are silly and goofy. Fine. I don't really have any problem with you thinking that way. The problem is when 6 months ago, he was going to be the moderate who was going to bring you to the table.
Well, I think he's also trying to show himself on the world stage that he can be this world leader, that he can really work with the Europeans and do something different than what we're seeing President Trump do. I think it's very telling that Alex Soros, who is the son of George Soros, who now runs the entire Soros organization.
Like 100 years
he's 95,
old.
Yeah. Right. I mean, very close to 100, born in 1930. And he is at this Sprung point in. Where his son, Alex Soros, runs everything. So the George Soros boogeyman that has been in American politics for financing all the leftist candidates, all the leftist district attorneys that we know the money has been poured into, that's all being run by Alex Soros. Also married to Huma Abedin, former close aide to Hillary Clinton. Like, This entire liberal global
40,
elite network.
He's a 40-year-old right. man. He's the same age as Will and I. I think I just spoiled it, Will. You're 40
years
old. You
did. I think you said it earlier,
I did,
too.
You know, but you know, we're 40-year-old men. Me, Will, and Alexander Soros. We're very similar.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you look at this, though, we know who clearly Alex Soros is going to be backing in 2028. I think that has already been shown, so that means the big money is going to be on Gavin Newsom. But when you also, I want to contrast with that message that is being told by Gavin Newsom to reporters there with what Howard Lutnick, as one of the close advisors of the president, is saying about this America First kind of model and everything. This is Byte 13. And I think it's very important because he's calling out the globalism that conservatives in America have called out for a long time, but we're even more concerned about in the wake of the Biden administration and what happened during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, before I pitch to you again, who is this and why is he there?
So Howard Lutnick is one of the close advisors. He's the economic advisor, does a lot of deals for President Trump as well. And he's there as a representative of the Trump administration.
I just want to give you all the information so you understand who you're hearing from and why you're hearing it from.
Right. And when it's a cabinet member position. It's, yeah. Well, you see Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, Howard Lutnick being the Commerce Secretary.
I think some people may interchange those two and not be sure.
Right,
who
exactly.
We're talking about.
But so you have both of these, and we have Byte also from Scott Bessent. When they are there giving these things, this is on behalf of the administration. They are speaking from a position of authority. But let's go ahead and roll this. This is Byte 13 from Howard Lutnick.
We are in Davos at the World Economic Forum. And the Trump administration and myself, we are here to make a very clear point. Globalization has failed the West and the United States of America. It's a failed policy. It is what the WEF has stood for, which is export, offshore, far shore. Find the cheapest labor in the world, and the world is a better place for it. The fact is, it has left America behind. It has left the American workers behind. And what we are here to say is that America First is a different model, one that we encourage other countries to consider, which is that our workers come first.
And once again, that is him, and he keeps going on about that and saying that we want you, the world, to think about your own people. He's saying that this idea of globalism and what the WEF, that's the World Economic Forum, the very place he's speaking, has stood for is the wrong path. It's the wrong thing for your people. It's the wrong thing for your economies. And that's what we've seen at home, the focus not being this globalization, this interconnected economies with all of our trading partners. We've seen it through, whether it be tariffs, whether it be the way that our diplomacy has worked, the focus on bringing manufacturing back to the United States and helping Americans live a better life. He's also not saying, and everyone needs to continue to invest in us. He's saying, you need to think about your people. This is the better way forward. And that is such a stark contrast to what even Gavin Newsom is saying, resist. When you put those next to each other, where Gavin Newsom is saying, you are not being strong enough against Donald Trump. And the message from the Trump administration and the Secretary of Commerce here is, take care of your people. That should be a campaign ad against someone like Gavin Newsom.
Has Greenland come up?
Has that been Greenland has come up. President Trump said he's not going to take it by force.
Okay.
Which is kind of something interesting, okay. You know.
There's sometimes that are like, you know, I didn't think he would, but let's just hope that's not the case. I do think the tariff situation is very interesting because I think a lot of people were very pro-tariff. And then you had the tariffs come out and maybe we all started to feel it a little bit. And then when the tariffs got threatened in the Greenland situation, it became a little politicized. And that is where I felt, what about you, the audience? How did you feel about that? And President Trump last week said, hey, if I don't get Greenland full ownership, we're going to bump the tariffs up from 10% everywhere. And then by this date, sometime July, it's going to go up to 25%, pretty much in most of our trading partners.
Well, and I think that the tariffs are a tricky issue for a lot of reasons. I know a lot of people on the right and supporters of President Trump are very pro-tariff, that they have liked the way that he has used this economic power to make deals, to actually try and reset the balance of trade in many ways.
They understand that to a certain extent. But there is a point where it feels like the balance gets shifted.
Well, and he is not incorrect when he talks about the history, that used to be how the government was funded. American government was funded largely on tariffs until Woodrow Wilson and the income tax and all of these things were introduced, and then they started doing direct taxing of Americans' income. Now, when he's bringing back this kind of tariff policy, we are in a situation where the government's being funded by both.
Yeah.
By there is double this downing. Big tariff policy, and we still have the income tax.
Pretty
obviously,
sneaky sis.
It's a Connect Four once again.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you see is that there is this kind of struggle. We will see where the Supreme Court falls on that. But there is some concern as well that the more tariffs get put in place, the more pressure goes that way, that it could start to impact everyday Americans' pocketbooks as prices could rise on those goods that it brought in.
Look, I'm going to check while we're in break to see how close we are to that $40,000 goal. There are some people who thought I said 50.
I saw that.
And they were like, oh, Will doesn't look a day over 48. And I'm like, you know, it's because he's
they
just
were trying
turned 40
to be kind, but
today.
It was a backhanded
compliment. Yeah, Will turned 40 today. Young Spryman, as he is. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Let's talk about the World Economic Forum. I think the tariffs, that's an easy way to get you jumping in this conversation. How do you feel about the tariff situation? How do you feel about tariffs being threatened in relationship to the Greenland conundrum? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. I posed a question. I would like to hear from you about it. You have President Trump speaking at the World Economic Forum. You have Gavin Newsom speaking there. You have all the other foreign countries all discussing the direction of the nations from a financial standpoint. President Trump has made it very clear that he wants to have control and ownership of Greenland, which has been a really contentious thing with the only, you know, a few dozen of thousand people, 50,000-ish people, 60,000 people that live in that country. There's some strategic reasons why President Trump sees it, but he said today, Will, I guess, or he said yesterday, he would not be taking it by force.
That's right.
Which I think should be a sigh of relief for most of us, because I don't think any of us really want to get into a war that feels completely unnecessary. But he's still interested in it and said, you know, Europe needs to put pressure on it. It's controlled by Denmark, right, currently?
Correct. Yeah.
But said, hey, last week, he said, I'm going to put in new tariffs. I'm going to say 10% tariff unless I get full control. And if I don't, then we're going to hit 25% tariffs, using the tariffs a bit differently than they were used before, which was just to figure out ways for a fair and balanced way for these countries to also support the United States economy and have a fair trade sort of agreement, as we were not taking a lot of these tariffs. Now, the other way is now playing politics with it. I want to hear from you what you think. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We have one call coming in, certainly more on the side of President Trump. And this, let's go to Ricky in Colorado on line one. Ricky, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Love listening while I'm in my car driving. And, awesome. You know, I just wanted to put some insight of, you know, my thoughts on the tariffs and things that are going on. But, you know, I think it comes down to our lack of knowledge of our history and our country and, you know, the real lack of knowledge of what the Federal Reserve is and what all they actually control. And so I think, you know, the tariffs are something that a lot of people don't realize how our country benefited pre-Federal Reserve, pre-1913. As well as some of the things that are being highlighted with the Federal Reserve right now, you know, them being under criminal investigation, or at least Jerome Powell, I should say. But
well, Ricky, you know, I agree with you. I think people don't know the history enough, especially of the economics of the United States. I could talk to Ricky for hours about
Ricky,
the Federal Reserve and
Will
about
would say, Ricky,
this.
Don't lose that number.
Right. But what we've got here, and to Ricky's point, is that tariffs were how the government were funded prior to the implementation of the income tax largely taking over.
If they said no more income tax, I think we'd all be getting a little more on board here.
Right. And once again, the origination of the income tax was 1% on incomes over $3,000, which was a high income earner back in the early 1900s when it was instituted. So you think of how far we've come from that to the progressive system that we have now, the central banking, which controls and creates inflation. When people talk about inflation, the Federal Reserve has a target rate of 2% inflation. That is what they want. They don't want deflationary policies because we are a credit system, fractional reserve banking. All of these things create more money. And what does that do? It devalues, one, your dollar over the long term, as well as it creates a situation where they need inflationary policy in order for the entire economy to continue to grow. So when you start talking about all of these are things that have not been talked about in American economics for decades outside of smaller pockets, niche groups on university campuses.
Nerds like me.
But once again, the other than people, even like Ron Paul started bringing up the Federal Reserve
It's a tough pill to swallow because, again, that's why I wanted you to even lead today's conversation, not just because it was your birthday, but because someone who has a background in finance, because it is one of those hot topics that is not easy to follow.
Right.
It's not easy to take in a one-hour show here when we have commercial breaks and all these things happen. But I think we're probably doing a better job than most of explaining why it's important to be there, why it's important we're having these messaging, and what it looks like in the future. how things are being planned out, because none of this is short term.
Right.
A lot of what is being planned from an economic point of view is forecasting a decade, you know, or so, maybe more, into the future.
Well, and I think part of my reservation about bringing the tariffs back into play the way they have been, and once again, we'll see what the Supreme Court does, but here's my reservation. Not that it could be better for the country economically if we kind of pull back on the income tax, move back to a more tariff, which we've seen. The Big Beautiful Bill is lowering the income tax for a big portion of Americans.
Sure.
They will see that this year. The American middle class will receive benefit from that, and the tariffs will kind of offset that to some degree. However, when Democrats are back in power, if they then raise the income tax and continue to use the tariffs, that breaks the system. Then it's double taxation. And when they start to make these threats of it's double taxation that you see from the left, and how dare he, once they get the green light, though, the Democrats and the left have never decided to give up government revenue. They don't like to get rid of taxes and get rid of revenue sources for the government. So that is my one hesitation and concern. Well, is that, yes, I think you hear Howard Lutnick saying to the faces of the World Economic Forum, you know, it's these globalization policies, these interconnected world. That's why tariffs are actually frowned upon by these countries, is because it's wanting to be a more globalist society and tax your own people. When he's saying we're flipping the script, and I'm going to say it directly to you here at the World Economic Forum, that is trying to push this and say you should do the same.
Well, it's been that discussion point of whether inflation or deflation can even occur when your society is built on inflation and not built on prices coming down. But what we've seen, actually, for the first time in a long time, there have been not only some settling, some items and products, the prices are dropping. Now, there's the ones that are kind of on a scale, like gas.
Right.
But we've seen that actually happen. That is not very common in America. To just get things stable look what's happened not just the last 4 years. Obviously, things went out of control in the last 4 or 5 years in terms of inflation, even the last 2 years. But if you're going to look back at the last 50 years, in a chart, everything is just going up at a pretty alarming rate.
Right.
To get things to stabilize is even difficult.
Well, and once again, talking about stabilization, historically, when you talk about those years of 9% year-over-year inflation under Biden, typically those prices are baked in perpetuity.
That's what I mean, forever.
Then you're getting those 2%. If you get it back within scope of what the Federal Reserve target is, yeah. Those prices are baked in, and you're building on top
of
those huge
up.
Levels. And that's where trying to change things and almost not break the economy, but break the system that has been baked in. And like I said, people weren't talking about these issues because while there were conservatives and Democrats when it came to policy and conservatives and liberals about economic policy, when you started to talk about kind of the system, it was that almost uni-party that people talk about. There wasn't a lot of disagreement of changing it and shaking it up the way it's been for more than 100 years at this point. And I think that is what's different about people like Scott Bessent, like Howard Lutnick, about like President Trump, that are getting in there and saying, this old way has not been good for the American people at the point we're at. We need to start to think about it a little differently.
All right, hey, we got a second half hour coming up. And look, it is Will's big birthday. And with that, I'm trying to raise $40,000 during this show, $1,000 for every year that Will Haynes has been on this earth. Can you do it? Can you support the work of the ACLJ right now by going to ACLJ.org? You can also sign our petition, become an ACLJ champion. That's all appreciated. Second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us on YouTube, Rumble, or ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Second of our Seculo coming at you right now. Phone lines are open for you. Phone lines are slammed. Also, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. It's Will's birthday. And because it's Will's birthday, his big 40th birthday, we are not only trying to raise $40,000. That's our goal today for the ACLJ. Let's go to aclj.org. We'll reveal tomorrow if we hit that goal, but hopefully we do. I'll check the numbers here in just a minute. But also, it's Will's birthday, so I said, Will, we could talk about whatever you want. And he said, I want to talk about the World Economic Forum. And I said, of course you do. And that's what we're doing today. Of course, President Trump was there, a lot of the Trump administration, as well as Gavin Newsom, which, how does Gavin Newsom, Will, even have the, I guess, stage time, if you will? I guess
he didn't get to speak.
Okay, so he's just walking around hobnobbing.
He's attending. It's invite only. Obviously, he was invited to be there. He's hanging out with Alex Soros, the son of George Soros. He's hanging out with a lot of people. He's given statements to the press saying, hey, you got to stand up. You got to have a backbone. You got to stand up to Donald Trump, world leaders. But here's what the Treasury Secretary, we've played Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, here's what Scott Bessent said at Davos just yesterday about Gavin Newsom being there and some of the statements he's been saying. Let's go ahead and roll bite one from the United States Treasury Secretary.
I think it's very, very ironic that, you know, Governor Newsom, who strikes me as Patrick Bateman meets Sparkle Beach Ken, may be the only Californian who knows less about economics than Kamala Harris. He's here this week with his billionaire sugar daddy, Alex Soros, and Davos is a perfect place for a man who, when everyone else was on lockdown, when he was having people arrested for going to church, he was having $1,000 a night meals at the French Laundry, and I'm sure the California people won't forget that.
And once again, I do love that he brought up he was trying to have people arrested for going to church, because remember, we at the ACLJ are still fighting at the Supreme Court for the over $1 million fine that Gavin Newsom is still trying to get from Calvary Chapel, San Jose. Yeah, so that fight doesn't end.
So when you remember, you see Gavin Newsom there, like Will said, hobnobbing with billionaires, raising money for clearly a presidential run in a couple of years. And look, Rick Rennell's going to be joining us, King of California. He'll discuss, I'm sure, his thoughts on Gavin Newsom at Davos. But look, when you see that and you know that he has been no friend to churches, even with his own community, and he's still out there, like, this is not 2020 anymore. It's not 2021. He's out there still trying to get these penalties and fees from these churches, including, like Will said, a Calvary Chapel that is, you know, they're trying to get over $1 million, the state of California. And for California, $1 million, when you have billionaires surrounding you and everything, is nothing. But for this church, it could be everything. But the ACLJ is there representing this church against the state. I think it's necessary. I think we have to be there. So when I'm joking around and saying, you know, it's Will's birthday, we're going to celebrate Will, and I'm not joking that we should celebrate you. But when you give money to the ACLJ, understand that's what's going to. You know, we are in court right now against the state of California, a state that is so big and powerful that they're honestly appearing at the World Economic Forum in many different ways. You know, and this is the real fights that go on in this country that we are a part of here at the ACLJ. So I ask you, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you're not only supporting this show, the media side, Will and I's, you know, whole crew, the amazing crew that works here, you're also supporting the legal side of this, incredible lawyers, because again, we take no money from our clients. That's not how this works. It's all supported by you. So as we head to a break, I want to encourage you, you can sign a petition on ACLJ.org. You can become an ACLJ champion if you want, someone that gives on a monthly basis. Or you can just make a one-time donation. Do it today if you can. That's at ACLJ.org. Of course, you could do it in honor of Will. I'm saying it's in honor of Will. I set us a lofty goal, $40,000 just raised by the end of this broadcast. And look, if you're listening to this tape delayed, I'm saying it by the end of the day. I'm not saying just right now. So if you're listening to this on your podcast later, it's still in honor of Will for the next 24 hours. So do it right now. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with Rick Rennell. We'll dive in a little bit deeper on all that's going on. We're going to take your phone calls coming up after that. Three lines are still open. If you're on hold, stay on hold. After Rick, we're going to get to your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
To Secula. We are going to take as many calls as we can at 1-800-684-3110 when we're done with this segment, but we are now joined by Rick Grinnell. Rick, of course, we're talking about what's going on in California, and it's Will's birthday, and I said, Will, you're 40 years old. You get to pick the topic today, and he said, I want that hot-button topic of the World Economic Forum. So that is what we're talking about today, Rick. I'm gonna kick it to Will to set this up.
See, he says he's doing this as like a birthday present. Really, he's like, I don't want to talk about this. You have to do all the work.
No, it's more that you're the expert. Rick, you have a degree in finance.
Rick, we're seeing the governor of California trying to make a name for himself, hanging out with his buddy Alex Soros at Davos this week and making these bold statements saying that European leaders need to grow a backbone. They need to stand firm and united against President Trump. This is something that I feel like if it was a Republican governor, they'd start investigating them for Logan Act violations. Hey. But here we are. I want to get your take on what your esteemed governor is doing over in Switzerland this week.
Well, first of all, happy birthday, Will.
Thank
all
you.
The best to you. We're glad that you were born. So we celebrate you today. Look, I think that the reality is the Logan Act charge is exactly true. They would be coming at Republicans fast and furious for this. But, you know, they are allowed to get away with it. They go over and do whatever they want to undermine the U.S. foreign policy. And there's a big collective yawn from the community that's supposed to be watching this. I would also lump in the media. The media should be making these allegations and accusations and questioning what's going on, but they're not. What Gavin is trying to do is pretend like what he's been able to convince the California media of is true. And it's not true. He's never been challenged on this California story that he thinks that we're doing so great. I think Scott Bessent's comments are exactly right. We've got the worst homelessness problem in California, but we've spent billions, tens of billions of dollars, and it's a total failure. Gavin's never been held to account for that. And as he travels, he relies on a media and a political industry that completely doesn't understand California. They believe what the LA Times keeps telling people is that somehow Gavin has been successful. And so it's going to take a little bit of time for these neo cons to understand that we need to challenge Gavin Newsom's language and spin. We need to have media that are going to do it. It's not going to happen inside California. It's going to happen when he goes to states that are in the middle. These swing state media operations are going to have to really hold him to account.
I brought this up to Will earlier in the show. What's interesting with Gavin Newsom is he definitely is one of those characters that changes, you know, with the tide so easily. Where 6 months ago, a year ago, he was trying to be a moderate. He was having conservatives on his, you know, 18th podcast and trying to be this guy in the middle. Then he flies off with Alex Soros to the World Economic Forum and is now is, you know, the biggest anti-Trump, current administration person that you could ever meet. And then if you flash back two or three, you know, years ago, he was saying good things about President Trump. And before that, he was debating, you know, the governor of Florida. He has had so many personalities that I feel like he never settles in. If he was consistent, like I told Will, if he was out there being consistent and it was the same guy saying the same thing at the World Economic Forum, I at least would have a bit more respect. It's the fact that he just changes with whatever crowd he seems to be in front of.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. He gets away with it. It is frustrating, but we in California have grown so used to this robotic Gavin Newsom who just gets on the stage and comfortably lies. We actually are pretty confident that normal people in swing states and other places outside of California are going to see it. They look at him and they see him as robotic. They see him as a total phony. They see him as contrived. And, you know, he's got a laundry list of things that he's convinced people that he's done. The biggest right now that people are talking about in the sports world is, you know, Gavin has this big story that he played first baseman in college and he was recruited into the Major League Baseball. None of that is true. And yet he continues to get away with it. Nobody challenges him. And we just know that there's a day of reckoning coming. And I hope that the swing states are getting ready. When he comes into a swing state where you're supposed to be, you know, let's say Iowa, he goes into Iowa, he needs to be challenged on this narrative that he keeps pushing that is a total lie.
Rick, one of the things I've actually loved watching out of Davos this year, which is not something that I feel like many people would ever say, like, I love what I saw coming out of Davos this year, but is the fact that I feel like much of the force here from the Trump administration is kind of very Rick Grenell. It's getting out there and talking to the people that don't want to hear you talk and having these hard conversations and seeing Howard Lutnick sit down and call out the World Economic Forum and all of these people saying, we're here to make a very clear point that globalization is failed policy and we need to stand up for our citizens and all of you do too. We need to all get away from this mindset of this globalization and everything that has come out of the World Economic Forum. And you see the Treasury Secretary making great statements. And I think that's what is so telling about Gavin Newsom as well, is that no one can tell me that when you hear what Howard Lutnick has to say, unless you are, Klaus Schwab himself, then you're going to disagree with what he's saying.
What a life.
Standing up for your country, your sovereignty, and your citizens' well-being is the right path. And so you see these obviously pre-planned statements by Gavin Newsom that is the only thing that he can be said that he's pushing back against is things like stand up for your own people. So he clearly was going to, he pre-planned these, was going to say this regardless, but the messaging coming out of the Trump administration is something everyone should be on board with.
Well, this, I think, is the lesson that Donald Trump has taught so many people in the political world, which is go out and make your own arguments on social media directly to people. Do not assume that you have to go to the media. You have to have the filter of the editor from some media outlet trying to tell your story. Go tell your story directly. You know, as an ambassador in Germany, the German media, the European media, were incredibly hostile towards President Trump in his first term. But I was there, and I actually enjoyed it. I was calm. I was respectful. I was nice. but I was also going to give it to them straight and tell them exactly what the policy was. And I found that more times than not, people appreciated the directness and the transparency that our ambassadors, that other people in the cabinet, that we're able to put out there. And I would encourage all of the Trump supporters, no matter where you are, calmly go make the case, because regular, normal, common sense people like it. They don't hear it enough because the media doesn't give them the real story.
Rick, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it as always. And look, I also want to say, say a prayer for Rick and his family. I know, look, we're all dog lovers here. In the passing of your dog, of Lola, I saw on social, such a sad thing for all of us who have been following you for years and friends of you for years. So give a prayer to Rick and Matt and his whole family with that. But I just wanted to say, again, thank you for joining us. I know it's been a rough thank week. You. So, go do what you need to do. And with that, I'm going to ask you to give us a call. We have some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. You heard from Rick. You've heard from Will. We've talked all about the World Economic Forum. We've talked all about this. You know, I feel like we've given you probably the best hour. If you needed to send this to somebody, you should be sending this to people who need to understand what's at stake. Why President Trump, by the way, is speaking right now. It is 6:45 p.m. in Davos, Switzerland. He's speaking right now, live. Maybe we could cut into it in the next segment. We'll see if we can. We'll see if maybe there's anything worth covering. It may be very similar to what we've heard before. But some phone lines are open. We got two lines open at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Before we go to break, like I said, I set a lofty goal here for Will's birthday. I want to raise $40,000. That's right. I want to raise $40,000 in honor of Will Haynes for today. And I'm going to give you an update of where we are when we get back. I wanted to give you guys enough time. I know some of you listen on a delay. Even some of you, I look in the chat, you're watching 5-6 minutes delayed just because you clicked on a little later. You start commenting on things that we were talking about 5-10 minutes ago. So we get back, I'm going to tell you where our goal stands and where we need to hit before the end of the day. And look, is it arbitrary? Yes. Did I throw that number out there just for the heck of it? Absolutely. But you know what? That money goes to incredible things. The ACLJ is hard at work, whether that is this show, the media operation, the whole team. I mean, dozens of people that work just on this show. And of course, all of you who are out there who need our help when it comes to the legal world, maybe you will need our legal help. Maybe you'll need to go to aclj.org/help one day. And you want to make sure we got the top of the top legal minds, the youngest, freshest, brightest minds, and the senior experts to make sure we have a great, great, robust team. None of that happens without your support at aclj.org. You can also become a champion, someone that gives on a monthly basis. When you hear about Gavin Newsom, no, we're in court with him right now in the state of California. We'll be right back on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Hear from you. By the way, I told you to check in. Here's what I want to tell you. Listen, this is pretty exciting. We have set that lofty goal of $40,000 for today. You know what? We are at $28,000 already today. So you all have responded in honor of Will's birthday. We're within striking distance of this goal, Will. It's a big moment. I think that, look, maybe we just do these more. Give people some goals, because right now—
I can have more birthdays if you want,
you should.
Logan. I can do that.
Because right now, listen, I'll give you a little inside baseball. Last year, on this day, we have already beat the number of donors that have come in for that day. That's how amazing all of you are. But you know what? We're still about 11,000 short of that goal. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening right now, whether it's now or during a rerun or whatever it may be, to support the work of the ACLJ today and do it in honor of Will Haynes. Will Haynes Day as he turns 40 years old. Now we're going to hear from you. Some of you guys have been on hold for over a half an hour. Let's do it. Let's go first to John, who's calling. Watch it on the Salem News
Which
Channel.
Which one? There's
John in Georgia.
There you go.
John has been on hold for a half hour. John, go ahead.
Hello, and happy birthday, Will.
Thank you, John. You
yeah, I think you were spot on with many of your comments, of course, and I'm appreciative of the fact that you're now running the program. So,
hey, not so fast. All right, John, go ahead.
But I just wanted just a few comments. I think that I pray to God that the Supreme Court does keep the president's authority over tariffs as they are, and they don't water them down. He is, I think, a genius when it comes to international policy, of course, and so many other things in the art of the deal. But coming back to this meeting at Davos, he's doing an incredible job, and I pray to God that the Supreme Court does protect us. And it would be nice if we could, here back in the States, remove the 16th Amendment with an amendment to the Constitution. We could operate on tariffs alone, and I know, don't doubt that. Maybe you could comment on those things. But as far as what he's doing with Greenland, I also think that he understands completely how important to our defense, and for that matter, for international peace, that we can use Greenland not just for the benefit of the U.S., but also for the benefit of the people in Greenland. And I don't think they're getting the proper media attention to how important this is.
Well, anyway. And John, unfortunately, many of those issues, because they are very academic in some ways and philosophical, and as well as the national security arguments that go around it, it's not as easy in a soundbite world or in a TikTok world where people are used to consuming very short-form media, short-form talking points of understanding some of these issues. You may still disagree with them at the end of the day, but they're not given the service that they deserve by how our media ecosystem operates these days. And like you say, with Greenland, the Chinese and the Russians have been making moves in the Arctic for decades, trying to strategically position both Arctic bases, nuclear submarines, things of that nature in the Arctic as a way to project power and have more control over global commerce, global trade, and having that stopgap. And so when you look at the situation with Greenland, a lot of people are like, oh, he just wants the rare earth minerals. And there's environmental concerns there. And I understand that. And there are things there that are very valuable. But it's also mostly something, and a lot of different administrations have talked about the strategic importance of Greenland for a long time, is that the military component, knowing what Russia and China are doing in the Arctic, and the United States is way behind on that. So you had a lot of other great points as well, John. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, even Leif Erikson, he thought Greenland very strategic.
Right. I mean, he used it for a reason.
Yeah. Let's go ahead to go to Dave in California on line one. Dave, welcome.
Hi. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Briefly on tariffs. If other countries would drop theirs, then we'd drop tariffs against them. I'm just going to be real quick on that. But as far as Greenland, which is a major, you know, situation, I think the United States needs to control without owning. You know, mineral rights in exchange for military protection. And I think that common sense would tell anyone, including Greenlanders as well as Canadians, that the protection of the U.S. military is far superior, because if the Russians or the Chinese came in, they wouldn't just, you know, have a presence. They'd take over.
Look, Dave, I think you make some valid points, and I think if it was anyone other than the Trump administration, we would probably have some sort of deal with Greenland. It's a political moment. And look, some of it is President Trump's tone, and some of it in general is just an aversion to Europe wanting to work with this administration.
Well, and once again, like, not that I necessarily think the Logan Act is a great law.
People asking about what that is.
The Logan Act is effectively barring individuals from trying to conduct foreign policy on behalf of the United States when they are not the president of the United States. And it's a crime. I mean, it is one thing that they tried to go after General Flynn for, because he was already starting to call world leaders ahead when they were in the transition phase. President Trump had already been elected. And so there's all these issues surrounding it with free speech and things of that nature in general. But when you do get to the point of, it's not just that people like Gavin Newsom are saying, stand up to and you know, grow a backbone to President Trump. They are actually trying to conduct, saying, don't give up Greenland.
Yeah.
Well, that's a foreign policy decision of the president. Not that I think the Logan Act should necessarily be used, but it is kind of textbook that they are trying to conduct the U.S. foreign policy on behalf of the United States without going through the president.
That Logan has besmirched my name.
He has.
Let's go to John. Potentially last call of the day. Robert and Anthony, stay on hold, but I'm not sure if we'll get to you. John, go ahead.
Yeah, my comment is that I agree wholeheartedly with President Trump's tariffs, but I don't agree with his, you know, talking about them as far as like threatening other countries who, you know, are going supporting Greenland. But my question is, a friend of mine who watches CNN religiously said that, you know, she says, you know, Trump stole $500 million of the Venezuelan oil and he put it in some bank offshore. So how would you get around? I mean, legally, how would I explain that to her?
Well, first of all, I think we've seen of late, especially right now, John, we have a case that we have filed a cert petition at the Supreme Court because CNN a long time ago gave up really caring about the facts, and they are fine with running things to defame people. We saw even this week where there was a commentator on there that we saw get called out in the host, like, oh, I'm the one that does the fact checking here. But they have a problem with really giving the facts anymore. So I think just say stop watching CNN is the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, or at least
because
they're letting
people just say things with no basis whatsoever.
Yeah. Hey, Robert and Anthony, unfortunately, we're not able to get to you today. Thankfully, you were on hold for too long today. But give us a call tomorrow. We'll try to get to you. With that, that's going to do it for the show today. I'm going to do a quick check-in to see where we are, Will. See if we have broken any records yet. Not quite. Seems like it went down. How's that possible? No, I think I'll just have to refresh. I think we're about 9,000 away from hitting that goal. Can you be a part of that right now? I encourage you to go to aclj.org. You become a champion also. Maybe you want to give on a monthly basis. Maybe you got a little bit more hanging in your pockets. You're like, you know what? I want to do this for Will's birthday. We'd appreciate it. ACLJ's hard at work. And again, that's not going into Will's pocket. I want to make sure people know that. This is just in honor of you.
Right. I get it.
Yeah. I understand you get it, but I'm making sure people understand it. Go to ACLJ.org. Do it today. Support the work. And if you can, become a champion. Sign a petition. Look at all the incredible free content. Nothing behind a paywall at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.